This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. New to WVXU's lineup is the Arts Hour from the BBC, curated, written, and presented by Nikki Betty. The program brings global arts in a weekly showcase with previous guests, including actress Lucy Liu and director Spike Lee. You can listen Friday and Saturday nights at 10 p.m. I spoke earlier with the Arts Hour host, Nikki Betty, and here is our pre-recorded interview. Nikki Betty is the host of the Arts Hour. Nikki, thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you. We're grateful to have your show on our airwaves now, Friday and Saturday nights at 10 o'clock. For those who have not yet checked it out or have never even heard of it, what is the message from you about what this show is?
It is an hour of the best global arts and culture conversations from across the BBC and, in fact, occasionally from some of our partner stations. So that might be in the whole of the United States. It might be in Australia. And what the aim is to have voices that you're familiar with. So we might have a massive American movie star leading the show, a little bit of chat with them. And then I have two other guests. And I discuss what that movie star may have said. The next item might be a filmmaker from Denmark who's talking about a very particular type of filmmaking. We might have a musician from Malawi. And after each of those items, we have a little bit of chat. But the idea is to just get a sense of global arts and culture conversation. But obviously, look at the big dominant cultures who feed us all, I think. I mean, who in the world doesn't want American movie stars or American directors?
We do tend to dominate the market, I guess, in that respect. But arts across the world is something that does bring us together. We all like to be entertained. We all like to have a story told to us. But over the past 18 months or so, we've also been dealing with this unfortunate global pandemic that has also connected us all in a way that we probably don't like very much. So I'm wondering how, you know, being such an expert on the arts and culture from around the world, what have you observed in the industry globally during this period?
I have observed the most remarkable mercurial ability for people to pivot. So the moment we had protocols in place in the world of TV around the world, people got back onto the sets with their COVID offices. They were determined to keep filming, to keep their projects going. We also, of course, have seen storylines be infected, excuse the pun, with COVID-type storylines. We have seen films being able to get back on the sets again. We've seen musicians being able to do, albeit on Zoom or other forms of boxes on screens. They've managed to, for example, develop a way of stopping the latency when you've got somebody in a room in Cincinnati, somebody in a room in Basingstoke, Hampshire in the UK, all wanting to create a piece of music. You know, engineers have stepped up and created ways of doing these marvelous collaborations. We've also seen stand-up comedians have to talk to a dead room, but understand how the ability to connect doesn't go away just because you can't be in the room together. So I've really seen huge positive things come out of it.
Well, I want to talk about what makes a great art city, because Cincinnati prides itself on being the type of arts destination that punches above its weight, so to speak. It has a great opera, a great symphony, a great ballet. It has regional theater. It has the Broadway tour that comes to town, of course, and a lot of small theaters and art opportunities for folks. And based on your travels around the world, what do you think makes a great art city?
I think that change is the one thing that really creates that friction for creativity to burst from the spark. So what you're hearing at the moment on your radio station is the Arts Hour, which is our weekly show. But before the pandemic, and shortly to resume, once a month for perhaps 10 months out of the year, we travel and create a show called The Arts Hour on Tour. So we choose a destination where some sort of change has been happening. Now, that could be something incredibly physical. Like, for example, when we went to Mexico City, the earthquake had hit and we saw the way that artists were responding to that. But it could also be, so when we were in Bogota in Colombia, We were 2 years after the FARC rebels had laid down their weapons and agreed on some peace. And we then saw, for example, the artist Doris Salcedo had got women who'd lost men to the FARC rebel conflicts, and they were able to melt down those weapons, create floor tiles, which were then laid by Doris in a space. And it was a memorial to the people lost. It was also a tribute to the peace that the FARC rebels had agreed to. And I cannot tell you what sitting on that floor did for me. It sort of felt like all that history was permeating through a tile. So there was a reverence, there was a celebration. So when you go somewhere where there has been an element of change, I think some of the greatest art can come out of it. I've chosen two quite grim examples there, but it's not always grim. There's often huge celebration when there's been change. A regime has stopped. There's been great, I don't know, strides forward in the way arts have been funded. So it's the one thing that I really do insist on all our shows is that there must be a sense of joy.
And part of that is, I understand, you like to take a cab ride around town.
Yes. You know what, though? This is the greatest way to experience a city. And for the show we do, it also is a device that allows one other thing. So if you have someone from the panel who's about to be on your show, be your guide in the culture cab. Mm-hmm. Get to know them better. And there is then a much easier transaction when you actually hit the stage the next day. But two, through their eyes, you get to see some of the cultural highlights of that city. And what you don't get are the things that any tourist could experience, which would all be fine, but most people will know about them. So if you have a rapper in Manila and they take you to the place where rap battle happens and they then explain the history of why this place is significant, what it used to be, you've already entered a whole new mind space and creative space, and you've understood something that you wouldn't do if you were just taking a map and going, let's go to the opera house, let's go to this place. You know, so that I think is wonderful. And it's also such a privilege to go around a city with someone who knows it.
That's a great tip. We're talking.
Where would you take me in Cincinnati?
Oh my gosh. Well, the thing that we force on everyone who comes to town is our chili. We are a chili destination. So we would have to stop at one of the chili parlors. And it would be unlike any chili. I don't know how much American chili you've been able to consume in the UK or in your travels. Okay.
I used to live in Los Angeles.
Oh, yes, of course. I knew that. I read about that. So yes, you're very familiar with a lot of our cuisine. Los Angeles is a great food city. But here in Cincinnati, we have our own take on chili. So we would definitely have you a big plate of spaghetti topped with our meat sauce with it's called a three-way or a four-way or a five-way. And it's not as suggestive as it sounds. It's actually a delicious meal. And that would be destination one. But we would love to show off the arts destinations like our music hall, which is next to our studio here and is a lovely old Victorian, a huge opera house, and the ballet and our theaters. You would absolutely adore it. I hope you can put Cincinnati on your schedule.
Oh, we want to put it on our schedule. And also, just tell me, are people in Cincinnati able to go back into that theater right now? Is it all open? Do you have to wear masks? What's the situation?
Well, just this past week, and we're talking a little bit before this interview airs, but a lot of the local arts organizations came together and announced that they were mandating, proof of vaccinations or recent test for COVID. So they are all anxious to get back on the stage. And they all seem to agree that the best way to do that is for a greater portion of the population to be vaccinated. But people are back on stage in a lot of areas. There's been a lot of, you noted a lot of the adjustments that artists have been able to make, either going virtual, but we've seen a lot of outside performances. It seems to be safer outside. And so a lot of people have pivoted to that. And people are so hungry for the arts, they're taking it up. So I guess if there's good things to come out of the pandemic, it's that we've learned there are other ways to deliver something people want, even in the good times.
I mean, the ability for human beings to adapt has been so visible, hasn't it, through the pandemic?
Oh, yes.
And those that haven't adapted, you know, it's not happening for them. But in the arts, I think creativity is genetic, isn't it? It's in our DNA.
Completely. And that, I guess that's the benefit of being creative. Unfortunately, you know, there weren't the I guess, incentives or financial benefits to the arts industry the way there were other industries that were impacted by the pandemic. And arts are sometimes on a shoestring as it is, but hopefully people come out of this thing with an increased appreciation for the creation.
So can I ask you a question, Mike?
Of course.
So are you excited by the idea that there might be a new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Oh my gosh, how did you know that?
Because I do my research.
Oh my God, do you know that I count down the... do you know how many times I've watched the entire series all the way? It's pathetic. I just watched it for the seventh time all the way through.
It's not pathetic. He is a genius, Larry David. So are the cast. And I am equally excited. And I just thought when I read that, I thought, ah, he's one of us.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad you're a fan because, I mean, each time he finishes a season, you think this is it. This is the, you know, he's just not going to give it to us. But I'm so glad he's coming back the past season with the Spite Cafe. Oh, so hilarious. I mean, the guy's my absolute, I think he's my God. I pray to Larry David.
There we go. I hope he listens.
I would ask you one thing about your background and something that I've observed, if you agree or not. And you're a performer yourself. I mean, you performed on stage and in film and television, and now you're a presenter. And I've done theater here in Cincinnati, and I've also been a journalist this whole time as well. And I've always noticed that actors have a hard time portraying broadcasters, whether it's like a reporter on the scene of something or a news anchor. And I was curious, Nikki, what your thoughts were on that.
Do you know what? That's such an interesting point. And I have a very good friend who is a colleague at the BBC who is regular. It's like her speciality that she is always the newsreader in whichever movie or TV series needs a BBC newscaster. So they're actually casting newscasters, broadcasters, yeah, TV and radio presenters. I have done it actually in a Bollywood movie, because I'm half Indian.
Right.
So, this Bollywood movie had a very strange perception of what a BBC newsreader would be. And the other thing is they insisted that I wore a green scarf. And I looked at this scarf and I just thought, why is that something that's important, you know? But you just have to do it. If you're being an actor, you have to be absorbed by the role. But I have to say, I haven't done any acting for a long, long time. So unlike you, I don't think it runs in tandem. I played a heightened version of myself, a very nasty version of myself. And I just didn't like anybody doing anything. I really enjoyed it, actually. I think there must be a hidden dark side to me. Maybe that needs to come out more.
Well, when that show comes out, we'll be sure to put that in our schedule, too. I will definitely tune in for that one. Nikki Beatty, the host of the Arts Hour, now on WVXU, Friday and Saturday evenings at 10 o'clock. Please tune into it. Nikki, what an absolute pleasure it was to chat with you about the program.
It was my delight and pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.